Blog Talk Radio.
To you all every Monday night, but I'm here. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for just tuning in and just listening to what I used to have to say. Tonight, I just wanted to give thanks that I didn't come with any prepared statement other than the fact that I love you all, I appreciate you all, and I thank God that you're alive and vibrant and really a part of my life. I was laid up for the past 10, 11 days with pneumonia and had some surgery done on my legs. The wheels ain't holding up too well. and a lot of stuff been going on, but I still have an interest at heart. And I'm here with a friend of mine, Chap. You're going to hear from him shortly. And I know that he's very interested in having his own broadcast, and so he's working with the people that's going to make that necessary. And so for all the people that have sponsored me, I just want you to know that I really appreciate you. You really kept me strengthened, strong, and supported. I don't know how much faith I have in the support that you give me. Thank you. I love you, and I certainly appreciate you for it. You just don't know how that makes a man feel, not to speak about the substance of another source, but I'm talking about a man. Man has a man feeling, and only a man can appreciate the substance of a gift from another man. And so you as my listening audience, you are my primary man. You're my sixth man, as they say in NBA, if you would. You're my sixth man, and I really appreciate you. For all those who have sponsored the All-State, Ms. Andrea, I just want to give a special thanks and praise to you for being with me throughout this, for all practical purposes, and all of you people out here who never had insurance. If you anticipate getting insurance, please don't pass up Allstate. She's an agent for Allstate. Her name is Andrea Riley. And I just want to extend my personal appreciation and thanks for you, the patience that you've shown while I've been under the weather. Certainly hadn't paid any bills. So I, you know, just want you to bear with me in that light, and you certainly have. Be assured that within the next 2 weeks, I'll be standing in your face again, smiling, and with my hand out, but this time, hopefully, with my premium caught up. Thank you again. So all of you out there who anticipate some insurance, don't pass up all things. Mr. Andre Riley is the person that you need to contact. I don't have all of the information here with me, but I just want to pass that out to you, and I'm certain that you, until you hear from me again, or if you heard my previous broadcast, then you certainly can get her phone number from that information. Thank you again. Thank you for your participation, and certainly thank you for anything that you might have to say. So, if it's anything at all favorable toward getting insurance, please don't pass up all states. And then there's cousins. Oh, place up on up the street. Favorite niece of mine, Barbara. They call her Baz, but Barbara's her name, and she'll deliver. I have to get that phone number for you too, but you can get the phone number from cousins from your local director. You just said when you laid up like I was and on the way out, all this other stuff don't mean a thing to you. Well, now that Lord is so fit to bring me back to you and let me be with you for at least this broadcast. I just want to show my appreciation to that and those people. A few things have been happening since I've been laid up. Pope was here, and a lot of stuff happened with that, and all of those who could appreciate him and the God that he serves, and certainly the same God that we serve, and for all practical purposes, he can be a blessing to a lot of folk. And so, without further ado, Chuck, let me just say, go on and speak to his propaganda for informational service awards or marriage awards or words of wisdom or anything that you have to say, man, the floor is yours. Go on and talk to him. Introduce yourself and tell them what you're all about and just what to expect from you and just how they can appreciate you as much as I do. I certainly appreciate you. And God bless you, man.
Well, thanks, Jay. That means a lot coming from you. I'm just thankful to be here today, to come in, listen to your show, and to interact with your listeners. I'm thankful to...
Let me just intervene for one moment.
Okay.
If for any reason that you all have something to say about anything that you heard or we're here, either from myself or Chuck, feel free to call us, and we certainly appreciate you calling. 646-668-8573. Give us a call if you would, and your lines are busy, just keep calling. Or you can call me personally on my phone at 202-779-8113. But I appreciate you. I want you to call. And so if there's anything that you hear Chuck say, what he has said or going to say or will say, or anything you hear, information to the people, because you may say something that they want to talk to you about.
Okay, well, again, I'm thankful just to be here. Yeah, interesting topic, man. When I first learned about a nation in prison, I was very, very interested. This is one of the topics that we need to get more in depth in discussing, because, you know, we have a nation that imprisons people like running water.
Even there,
nowhere in the world does any nation have the numbers that we have in this nation of imprisoning the population. And in our particular instance, being black, being just the minimal part of the population, we have more people in prison than anybody else. And of course, that's something, a topic of interest, and something that we should take a real close look at. So when I heard the topic and the name of your show, when I listened in, man, I just felt compelled to be involved.
Well, I certainly appreciate that observation, Chuck. One of the things that I find that we as a people don't realize that as a person we're in a nation, because each person within him or herself birthed a nation.
Absolutely.
Your name is a nation.
Absolutely.
You know, some people call it colony, the Johnson colony, the Johnson family, but you're a nation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And we make laws and abide by laws or stuff that a lot of times we don't appreciate the meaning of, and some, a lot of times we depreciate the cause of it.
Uh-huh.
In terms of how we do. I was listening to a topic of real interest the other day, and people were disagreeing and some people were agreeing. People were saying that we lessen our restrictions upon observation of respect, as far as I'm concerned, about using the restroom. Now they're saying that a transgender can say, I want to go into the
women's
bathroom.
Or
men. But if it's more than likely, he's going to say he want to go into the female bathroom.
Yes.
And you have to respect that or go to jail, if you would. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
And so what happens when people want to misuse that? You got pity pillars out there, or freaks, you know, people that's got bad intentions. People just want to go into the woman's bathroom.
Uh-huh.
You can't deny. You see, when the police come, he said, I'm a transgender.
Yeah.
And so I chose to go into the female bathroom today.
Uh-huh.
That, what can the police do?
It ain't no sense
in looking at it sexual, because you got to say that doesn't change.
Right.
Doesn't change, but it's intentions.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? So we imprison ourselves with a lot of our foolish records and stuff that we abide by. And for me in my house, if you come in my house, if you come in as a man, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
That's where you're going to use the restroom as a man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, we don't have a choice, you know, when you come in my house. But when you go into a public restroom like that,
uh-huh.
he has a choice, or she has a choice if
uh-huh.
he wants. He can say, well, I want to go in the men's restroom.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And so we have to be mindful of how we imprison ourselves with a lot of stuff. So not just to go behind bars to be in prison.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
We can imprison ourselves with our own thoughts and the latitude that we give other people within him or his thoughts.
And so we
had to be mindful of how we imprison ourselves.
Right.
A nation in prison, may
right.
God
right.
have mercy.
Yeah, that's deep, man. And you're absolutely right. A lot of times it seems that we're not mindful of the fact the handcuffs that we put ourselves in based on laws, whether they be, a lot of times laws are real stupid, and to me that's a stupid law, and it's incumbent upon us as people, as men, way you put that at first. I like the way you phrased it, because when you say as a man, you should have certain principles, you know, and when wrong is wrong, it's wrong. You can't make right out of it. So for a person to tell me that this is the law and that I have to abide by it, as a man, I feel that I need to challenge some things. Now, if I'm a man and I have a right, I don't want someone who's transgender sharing a bathroom with me. You know, I feel that, you know, that I should have some respect as a man to be able to say that, to me, this is unfair.
Not only is it unfair, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Again, we imprison ourselves with our own law.
That's right.
Because we all respect a birth certificate.
Okay.
And I'm certain that when people, a lot of people say they're born a certain way. You know, and they wait till they get 1,900 years old and say, well, I was born that way, but I was trapped in. And something said, well, untrap your birth certificate. you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go back and change the birth certificate.
Yeah.
Go back and tell the doctors that birthed you. I couldn't speak for myself then. I'm speaking for myself now. That I didn't like the idea of being a man or born a male. You know, you have an idea that it's the gender that we have is male and female. Now y'all are both a third of them, both of them. You understand what I'm saying? So how do we straighten the birth certificate out? You know, you tell people that you change your mind, that your mindset now has always been that, and so, well, we know that mom knows best, you know,
mm-hmm.
The dad knows best. Why didn't they know? Why didn't they say, what the doctor is the one to determine what you were?
Right.
You go back to the court, they tell the court to tell the doctor that he was wrong. Why don't you go back and tell the doctor he's wrong?
Yeah.
Look, put transgender is there such a place? When I fill out applications every day, I see
male, female,
race, and all that. But I don't see that third wheel that they bring into the project. But again, the law says that we have to respect this person.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Well, suppose I come back and tell them I'm an angel and that I'm above the law and that you can't bother me. I'm a Satan worship, and you can't bother me. You know, in jail, they're allowing that now.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, you can go in there and say, I worship Satan and that I want to have a religious day for worship and all the practices and all that type of stuff. Oh yeah, they let you go, but you got to have your stuff in order.
Okay.
But again, we imprison ourselves because we impregnate ourselves with a whole lot of stuff that keeps us in prison.
Absolutely. And again, it's necessary. It's imperative that as men, we make these distinctions between what we think is character and principle against, you know, these third wheels they keep coming up with. When a person decides beyond all of what is right and wrong, like you said in the beginning, when you're born, you either have testicles or you don't. You know, and if you don't have testicles, you're a woman or a penis. Or if you do have testicles and a penis, you're a male. You know what I'm saying? Now, we get into some gray area when people start to talking about what's the difference between a male and what's the difference between a man. Okay, just because you're a male, does that make you a man?
My thought is that, you know, every culture, to my understanding, has their own, being of a mountain now, we have, 7 billion people on this earth?
Okay.
And each nation that has a billion people, they call it one of the superpowers, if you would, or super nations. But each one of them has, you know, you can go with certain parts of Africa and Asia and all them type of countries, what we call third world countries. And you can see them over there 8, 9 years old with assault rifles.
Yeah.
Defending, their
community. Yeah.
Like cats and dogs. I'm talking about, and being mean.
Yeah.
And about 10 or 11 years old, they're capital. I know in Chinese, I know at 12 years old, they're selling the females off as grown. You understand what I'm saying? That's where they're grown.
Yeah.
And so here in the United States, they say you can be a consenting adult at 16 now. You understand? Say you quit school, you get a job, you go out on your own, you know, that type of stuff.
You can divorce your parents.
You know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Different cultures have different things that define whether he or she is a man or a woman in terms of stature now, not as far as birth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This transgender thing, it's not statues at all. This is birth.
Well, when it comes down to it, things are pretty basic and simple. You know what I'm saying? And it seems as though when you move into different societies, you try to make it simple or the plain complicated. You know, a man is a man, a woman is a woman. You know, and that's etched in stone. That's there's no way to get around that. And so when you start dibbling and dabbling into trying to make things other than what they are, then you bring upon, you know, the society or the culture or wherever you're at. You bring a lot of fantasy, or you bring a lot of unreal into the realm of what's real.
Okay, well, and again, that's according to where you are and what culture you're in. Because I can imagine a transgender and the same sex marriages and all that type of stuff. They can run up to here in Europe and say that, you understand what I'm saying? But I'm thinking that if you go over in Israel and Iran and all the people talking about you gay and breaking your wrist and all that, I'm looking up and I'm seeing your head flying up down the street.
Right. Because it's an insult.
That's right.
It's an insult to the nature, the basic nature of what a man is. You know, and a man, when he's really a man, when he's going to stand on his principles or stand on whatever his God says is or is not, in very basic and simple terms, you confront that man to a point where he has to defend himself as a man. And he's saying to you, you can't bring that into my community. You know, we're not having that. There is no such thing as an in-between or a gray area or a third wheel.
Listen, man, M-A-N. Remember what God told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am. I-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, N-A-M. M-A-N. Man. You have your same ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
There's no foreign ingredients there. You understand? The principle is that I am.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So if man is an in image. In the image.
In the AM.
Right. He's in the AM.
Right.
And so we got M A N.
Right.
We got the I God, I am.
Yeah, God is the I.
Right, and we are the end.
In the I.
In the I, because we're in his image.
That's right. That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so we have the same I am.
Right, right.
Well, I can understand how the Islamic people certainly feel disrespected when you come up and say, well, there's a third alphabet there.
Yes.
A T.
It's an insult.
Yes.
It's an insult. And if you have the character of God, if you truly are the N and the AM,
right,
you're going to take offense to somebody confronting what it is your God has said is or is not. So, getting back to where we started, it's incumbent upon men who are real men to stand up and say, I don't understand that. It makes to me. And, you know, I have to have some way to counter what it is that you're doing. Otherwise, you're building a prison for yourself.
And engulf yourself right in it. You know, they in the quandary run in our city, if you would, about this sudden surge in criminal behavior, and especially those who just want to settle everything he or she does with a pistol. And I was just thinking that when I was coming up, if you couldn't fight, you had a problem. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But it was no problem, you know, for to lose the fight. My mother locked the door. You had to fight. Whether you win or lose,
right,
you was going to fight.
You have to fight.
And everybody respected that.
Yeah.
Everybody respected that. You win or lose with a black eye or swollen lip or whatever, that was the fruits of war. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, but more important, you got respect for that. How can you know to what degree can I fight if you telling me with a beef and just shoot me?
It's the easy way out, and it flows over into what we're talking about right now. We're getting to a point where we accept a reality that's not really real.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, my mother. Let's go back in the day. You come running home crying, and your mom say, well, what happened to you? And you say, well, they chasing me, they beat me up, or they going to take my sweater or whatever. She's going to push you back outside.
You better bet.
Push you back outside, because there's a lesson to be learned in the fact that you stand up for yourself.
That's right.
You stand up for what's right. You know what I'm saying? And it's not right for you not to be able to walk home from school.
That's right.
I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to walk you from school. You got to be able to walk from school to home. So you need to get back out there and deal with that.
That's right.
And whether you get your butt beat, you know, I'm standing here, I'm looking out the window, I ain't going to let nobody hurt you. But what I want you to do is to confront what it is that you're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? It'll be real easy if you could just run to the house, go in the house, get a gun, and come back out and shoot somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Because if you ran in the house without confronting, with the same sweater, when you come back out tomorrow, the same people be waiting.
It's there. It's right there. So you need to learn to deal, you know, with issues that are going to come forward to you in this world. And one way to teach a child to do that is to make them deal whatever he has to deal with. Now, you know, we're not going to take it too far. A child has to deal with adult-type problems. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about being able to, you know, exist in a community or in a neighborhood where things are going to happen. And adults at that time knew that the best thing to do for a child when he's confronted with certain type of issues is to make him stand up for himself and deal with whatever it is. Now, you know, we didn't have the guns in the street like we did back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So the natural thing to do, you know, was to fight for your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and those are lessons that if a child doesn't learn when he's a child, they come at you differently as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you're a man, it's too late to learn those lessons. Well, it's never too late to learn a lesson, but it's harder to deal with.
Well, it's good that you can say that because it's never too late to learn.
No.
But more importantly, it's who you learn from.
Okay.
That makes a difference. You know, that my thought is the world is a big old classroom. The world is a big old classroom. And the going is that each one teach one.
Uh-huh.
When the goal is that, what you're talking about, each class of people teach a different subject.
Okay.
So if you would listen to my household, you could only hear my mother hollering because there was no man in my house.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So my oldest brother had a job, and my mother delegated him when she wanted that to happen. I'm gonna cut that back. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And give my oldest brother the belt. And closed the door. And so he become the man of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a thing that she just called out the street to her boyfriend or so and so. But during that time, it was all right. If I was doing something wrong down the street and the dad down the street told me,
yes,
could wear me out and bring me home and I get wore out again.
Yes.
Tell
your parents what you did, what he did.
And got appreciated for.
Yeah.
Got pat on the back instead of with a pistol up to his head. And so we've got, like you said, we've got away from back in the day.
Yeah.
And the way the young folk has it now is that it's their way or the highway. And I they can't attest to it because most, say about 10 of them who said it like that, either in the graveyard or the penitentiary.
Yeah.
You know, I always marvel at this. All these people that like to shoot people, not one of them would, and you see them at the, these places, recruiting offices where they can go to Army and Navy, where they give you a gun, all the ammunition that you want, and take you to the killing field, and take you over to Iraq and all the places and let you go for it.
Yeah.
They won't sign up for that.
No. But it's
they gonna kill me or you for my tennis shoes. Remind you, I don't buy them. So if y'all come and rob me from tennis, I don't win.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So we imprison ourselves because we impregnate ourselves with some primitive thoughts.
Right.
I mean the things that we can think of to kill a person about is ridiculous. And then you over the jail the night and tomorrow thinking that, man, all I had to do was just hit that sucker in the mouth,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, or all that to do is pull that wench's hair out if you're a woman, you know what I'm saying, because that's what they did during those times. They pulled each other's hair and clawed and all that. But the next day they was buying each other soda pop.
Yeah, walking and talking together. It's a whole different ball game. What strikes me, Jake, is how do we get here? Now the kids, the kids are off the chain. They got some issues that sometimes I can't deal with because I don't even understand.
Look, they don't understand.
Okay, so if I don't understand and they don't even understand what they're going through, how do we get here? Second of all, how do we get out? How do we fix what's happening?
Going back to the day.
Okay. How do you do that?
Go back to the day.
You have for the most part, kids that don't have the mindset, they don't understand. If they look at a movie that came out in the 60s or the 50s, which they're not going to do because it's not an action and adventure, how do they have the mindset of understanding the type of life that could be? Because to them, life is only what they see and only what they know. A lot of these kids are born in the stuff they see is what they want to see.
They won't go back and see the movies. You'd be surprised at the people, Chop, that live right here in the District of Columbia that's 15 years above that hadn't been to the Lincoln Memorial or the Monument Ground or the White House to go around there and just to look and see how all the people live. There's a lot of people in jail, but it's more on the street that's in jail. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a lot of people that's doing wrong, but it's more doing right than wrong. And so if you instead of looking at American Gangster, because that what they used to marvel at me being on American Gangster when I was on there, and then I talked about the six homicides out there. That's all they wanted to hear about. That's all they wanted to talk about was the six homicides. Well, what about if I did that? What about the people that's still living from the people that's dead? You think they don't want to get back?
Yeah.
So I don't want y'all marveling about that. Y'all might be one of the grandkids or something. This nigga killed my grandpa. And then you get the attitude and just go get a pistol and shoot me instead of just say what happened.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about nothing. We don't want to talk about nothing. We don't want to try to sit down and understand why a certain thing happened then. That's what I say. That go back to the day.
Yeah.
Go back into the day and be willing and able to let yourself out of prison. Don't keep yourself in prison about yesterday.
But if you don't know you're in prison, if your imprisonment is all that you know, and outside of that nothing else exists, how do you take a mind? How do you take an imprisoned mind and tell it that it's in prison when it thinks that it's normal?
Well, because.
And
the norm is what's accepted by the general society.
Right, right.
The you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, like you said, we make laws, and a lot of times we make laws, and certain laws crush others. You know what I'm saying? But they say somebody's trash is another's treasure. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is what the being in the biggest classroom in the world is all about.
Okay.
It's that we're here. And so what goes on is that we choose our teachers. And what happens is we don't want OGs such as yourself and me, they don't want us to tell you. You understand what I'm saying? They don't want to tell them how to do something because they think that our way is outdated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do they think that we are still here? I'm not outdated.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because I'm still here. As you and then last week I saw you in a funeral procession with your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Who's 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That somebody didn't appreciate his way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked about this on the newscast today that two of the security guards over the hospital jumped on somebody and the person wound up dead. You understand what I'm saying? Well, what happened? Well, for one thing, I got it out of that, is that it happened at the hospital where this security guards worked at.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Whatever took place, they were what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? With the frame of mind that they were supposed to have, whatever was supposed to happen, their job is to secure the hospital. You understand what I'm saying? So if a foreign man invades the hospital and impregnate it with a foreign thought, than they were supposed to deal with.
Yes.
You know, when they deal, when people deal with something within his or her own element, we find it strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you think that you can talk to these youngsters about that, you know, during the time that we was coming up like that, man, you couldn't even get caught smoking a cigarette. And now they done made it so that they can only smoke cigarettes and they can buy marijuana pretty much. You understand what I'm saying? And then they lace it with whatever they want to lace it with. And then they took all these programs for the people who invade it and deal with it. You know, and then when they get to acting, we didn't act out like that.
Right.
You know, the worst thing that could have happened, we could find some older guy somewhere sitting by a fire campfire and get a drink of wine. You know, if they didn't kick you in your behind and send you sailing from that. That's the biggest high that we could have had.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bootleggers would even sell you nothing.
Uh-huh.
And now anybody anywhere can sell you anything pretty much anywhere, and they go, but these are thoughts instilled by this younger generation, and you think a nation in prison?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Jake, and it's tragic. At the same time, though.
Well, Pastor and I said the same thing today in terms of what happens to the movement.
Yeah.
And you know, this country was founded upon the principle that people had a good feeling of religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so pilgrims and Puritans and all the Spaniards, the Catholics, the Queen Isabel and Queen Ferdinand of the Catholics. Everybody had his or her own way of thinking that we want to do. Like the king can't tell me how to pray. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The queen can't tell me how to pray. And so we came over here to establish our own religious freedom. They come over here and they come and find out that the people that here had a way of praying. They had what they call medicine men and all that type of stuff, voodoo doctors and whatever. But everybody had some sense of recognition of a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people don't.
Okay.
You know, when you go to the church, average church today. Go to the average church today. And for every young person that you find in there that's supposed to be the age of 12 and 20, I'll give you a dollar. For all of them that you find that's not,
between,
I'll give you a nickel. You give me a nickel, and you'll wind up being broke.
Yeah,
because the younger folk,
they're
scared of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And
either they're scared of God, or they don't know God.
Well, it has been inside again. That's what the man has taught him at home. And again, if the man wasn't at home, then obviously the mother was too busy trying to either engage another man or keep them from going to church. And now that that you find a single parent, and especially a single female, there's very few of them. Anybody find 2 out of 10 that engages her children to come to church?
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, because
when I was coming out, my mother took us to church.
Yeah, you had to get up on Sunday
you
morning.
You better.
You know, it got to the point where they said, we'll come get you.
That's right. That's right. Well, and that need to be reinstated.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of the younger females don't want to be dependent upon nobody. I don't want people to come and get me. No, I ain't got no money. We ain't got no money. I ain't got no money to go to church. Well, who said you had to have money to go to church? You understand? You had to have faith.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Because if you listen to your mother, your grandmother, and your great parents, great grandparents, their thought was what God could do, not what the banker could do.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They always thought what the God could do.
It's a It's a whole different mindset.
Well, because the fact that the single parent has single focus, and that's survival of the fitness in terms of physical fitness. Get a job, or I get a dude with the money, or a hustle, you know what I'm saying, with the money. Fine, but, you know, when my mother came up, and she had seven of us, and she sold dinners on Sundays, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And God know whatever. I see a lot of men creeping out, you know what I'm saying? But it was always survival, and to bring us up with the understanding that God would
provide.
You understand what I'm saying? That you can't tell these people that today. And then they throw back at you about Islam, you know what I'm saying? Well, I don't believe in no ghosts and so on. Well, what does that mean? You know, because every religion talks about a spirituality.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Every, I don't care what you believe in, all of them talks about spirituality. You know, and that spirit is nothing but a ghost, if that's what you want to characterize it as.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So
you can't get around.
You can't get around God. You can't get around. You can deny what you feel that you can deny. And you can say, well, I'm God, so. You can rationalize in all the fashion that you do until you run out and see me hit by a car. And what you say, oh, my God. Well, you know, okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you know, okay. Yeah. You know, so. You know, people have to release his or herself from prison, the prison that he or she put him or herself in, you know, and that's the mindset of the person today.
Let's say that the person is the nation,
mm-hmm.
and in our country, we're imprisoned by a whole lot of rigmarole, whatever it might be. We just got finished talking about laws or practices that we don't understand, yet and still we abide by, we conform to them. How does the nation change?
Well, the nation change with the nation within the person, in turn, and that's his or her own personal thought. You have to have accountability and responsibility to become a man. We remember 20 minutes ago we were speaking about how and what age you become an adult. You understand what I'm saying? Some people become adults at the age of 6 or 7 years old when they see his or her mother being drunk or laid out drunk somewhere, and they got to find a way to eat and you know, change your own diaper and stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying? And remind them, lock the door. Because mom done left the door wide open, come in and drunk or something. You understand what I'm saying? Or dad done left the door. And so you become the man of the house at that moment. You go out, you go to the door, lock the door, you go to the refrigerator and get, make your peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something. You understand? You become responsible for yourself, accountable to yourself. You know what I'm saying? And you ain't gonna let mom or dad get up from that drunken stupor. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times they get up and do a lot of foolish stuff to the children or to the other spouse, and you witness that.
Mm-hmm.
And you become an adult because you experiencing stuff that children shouldn't experience.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So how we release that nation is when we become free within our own thoughts in terms of how we're going to you know what's right or what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You know that's what's accepted. You know, you can talk all the talk you want to talk, but you ain't going to get up 8 o'clock in the morning and run out in the street butterball naked and walk down the street to the bus stop and say, I'm going to work. You know what I'm saying? And you wind up at St. Elizabeth before 9.
But at the same time, that child will go out on the street and kill another man for thinking that he's been disrespected in some way. And so it seems to me that we're at a, I hate to use this term, but we're at a point of no return. If we can't somehow engage these young people with a reality check, you know, then it's just going to snowball to the point where it's out of control if it's not already, and it's unstoppable.
Let me just say this.
I mean,
if you get to a stop sign or a red light, it says stop.
Right.
For how long?
Until you make sure that the coast is clear.
Right. When you get to a point in your own life that you see a stop sign, doesn't necessarily have to be up on the corner. It can be right within yourself.
Okay.
You have to say to chop. You know what I'm saying? Am I at the point where it's because it says stop that I'm going to stay right here forever?
Yeah.
You mentioned being at a point of no return. The people that at a point of no return don't know they're there.
Okay.
That's at Lincoln Cemetery and all that. They don't know that they're at a point of no return.
And they never saw a stop sign.
Right. If they saw it, they didn't pay no attention. Went straight on through it. And pay no attention to it, and so we're never at a point of no return.
Okay.
You know, and somewhere in the Bible, I think that one of the people will tell Abraham who was in the throes of being transferred to heaven. Man, look, can I just lick your fingernails or something? I just need to have a cool drink.
Yeah.
He's in hell. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
And so if there's a point of no return, that's where he or she, well, okay, then just remember, man, to tell my brothers and sisters back home that even at the point of no return, we got regrets.
Okay.
You know, that we know that it could have been another way. You understand what I'm saying? So there is no sense of no return.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? The people who brought that out,
okay.
The people who put that out put there for others, not for him or herself, because they getting recognition for trying to explain just that.
Okay.
It's no such thing as no return.
Okay.
And it, because if there's no return, you don't know it.
Okay.
And so for all the people who can acknowledge no return, you need to look at the person in the mirror.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Because there is a return.
Yeah, I hate.
And so, man, I'm back. I'm a little weak. Not as sharp as I need to be, but I'm where God has presented me to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And like I told the pastor the message that he brings, it's not for him to understand, just for him to disseminate.
Right.
You understand? It's right. For me to understand.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and so the effect of my acceptance of what you put out to me, I tell you, everybody is in a classroom.
Uh-huh.
You know, God is his teacher as well as mine. But you know, to have me to have the special presentation, he gives me a prophet to bring it directly to me.
Uh-huh.
Because usually he or she comes right from your own neighborhood, somebody you can recognize to come. And like I was telling McDuffie, if you want to put the orange hat back, or put them out here for the people who are here, some in hats. You understand what I'm saying? And people are not going to be out here from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. You understand what I'm saying? But from 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But look, man, I know what you're doing. You don't even live here. If you, I ain't going to tell you to sell it, but whatever you're doing, or whatever y'all drinking, or however you do it, do it. Go in your own house and do it. Take us with you to your house. You understand? We'll all go to your house and do it. And then they won't like that part.
Yeah,
they won't like that teaching.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, man, we need to learn how to communicate through communication.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I said, for the most part, and all the time, it's who the teacher is, you know, and that we would accept the message from. You understand what I'm saying? And so my thought is exactly this before we get away from here, is that a lot of people say, don't I'm just a messenger. Don't blame me. I'm just a messenger.
Yeah, okay.
You understand what I'm saying? But why would you get at the messenger for what he... But anyway, I don't know if it's time for us to get away from here or not. We can go back on next week. I'll certainly be available. Thank you for my listening audience. Meanwhile, I appreciate you. Pray my strength, you know, and if you enjoy the broadcast on tonight, just give us a call. I think when they were trying to reach us, somebody had a message for us.
Okay.
You see the saying, and a lot of times it's where the message comes from.
Mm-hmm.
That makes all the difference. You know, Moses received the message through the bush.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If he'd have told somebody that, go out and ask him, he'd stand out there talking to the bush, you would have said, gone fool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What if I told you what I heard?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you say, what?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So for my listening audience, I really appreciate you. Thank you for listening. I'll be here at the same time. Same station next month. Appreciate you. Thank you, and may God bless you.